All right, well, praise God, praise God. Like I was saying earlier this morning I had a message. I was all ready to go. I had it all pretty much typed out, written out in my journal. And, you know, I got to the office today, and it was just one of those things where it's like, I just moved into an office. Well, I say I just moved, but really it's actually been a couple months now, and it's empty. There's stuff all over the place. That's just how I work. My mom and I are the same way. Our offices are both kind of all over the place. Neither one of us are really organized and tidy people. I mean, that's just probably that creative part. But, you know, I sat in there, and I don't have any blinds over my door. And my office is in a spot in which everybody who walks to go to the break room, to the bathroom, to the door, to anywhere in or out of the church, they walk right past my office, and I always see everybody kind of glances in that little window to see what's going on, you know. And so all morning I'm sitting in there, I'm just kind of preparing the word. I have this little hanger on my doorknob that says, "In study, please do not disturb." And it was like one person after the other just open the door. "Hey man, how's it going? How's the baby?" It's like, great, you know, okay, you know. And then they come in, "Hey man, how's the baby? How's the wife doing?" Okay, great, you know, one after another. So finally I took that little hanger and taped it on my window, kind of saying like, all right, maybe they're not looking at the door handle. Maybe I had to put it like eye level so, you know, I could try to get alone with God here and get ready for tonight's message. But you know what? That's why I know that something was good, because there were so many different things that were coming against tonight's message, trying to get me to be distracted, trying to pull my attention away from it. But man, when I was reading over some notes and some notes that I had made in a journal and some past things, man, it just struck me. I was like, God said, boom, right there. There it is. That's the message for tonight. That's the message that we need to hear. And you know the fun thing about it? I always like to share this with the young adults, is that I like to preach things that I deal with too, because, you know, I don't see myself as any kind of a special person. I don't see myself as any kind of a different person. I think that in general, we people all kind of clump together. We all kind of go through the same things in certain times in our life. You know, we're all people. We all experience the same thing. So I know that if there's times in my life that I'm experiencing what we're going to talk about tonight, I know that there's times in your life that you're experiencing the things that we're going to talk about tonight. And I know that the word of God tonight is going to be good. And I know that God's just got such a message for you, especially the church in general, that we ought to hear this. Because a lot of times, especially with what's going on around the world, what's going on around the economy and gas prices, it's really easy for us to just kind of focus in on our own lives and to act the way we feel. Tonight, I want to talk to you a message. And the title of my message would be, "Staying Positive When You Feel Negative." Oh, man. Yeah, see? Okay, see? So I know that I'm not alone in this, and that there's some times when we feel negative, you know? I mean, gas prices, well, you know, going up to $5 a gallon. I'm so glad that I bought a truck. Wow. Was that great time here? Was that great time? You know, Pastor Jim taught a message a couple months ago now about joy versus happiness. Do any of you guys remember that message about joy versus happiness? And you know, I'll tell you what, that message changed my life. I kid you not, it changed my life. And tonight, it's kind of along the lines of that. And if you didn't hear that message on joy versus happiness, I really encourage you guys to go out to the webpage or to go out to the CD counters and pick that up. Because I tell you what, that message changed my life. And I know that it would do the same thing, because it was just like, I mean, God came down through Pastor Jim and just cracked it open and just revealed a whole bunch of stuff in my life that I was dealing with that I didn't even know about. So I know that message would change your life. But tonight, I want to talk to you about staying positive when you feel negative. But before we get into the message, let me say this. I'm going to give you a little disclaimer. All right? Here's how it goes. I talk fast. Okay? I do. Yeah, man, you do. I talk fast. Okay? You know what? I think faster than I talk. And you know what the funny thing is? You think faster than I talk. So even though I talk fast, you know what the Bible says? All things are possible through Christ. You know what? So if I talk fast, it is possible through Christ for you to understand me who talk fast, okay? So listen, here's the bottom. I'm gonna try. You know, that's just how I am. If you could just see my mind, I mean, it's just like ridiculous. My attention span is like 3 seconds, okay? I'm like a goldfish. But you know what? I'm gonna try to keep it on pace. But you know, bottom line is, why don't we grab onto that chair, buckle up, get ready for the word of God, because you know what? It's going to come, all right? And if I talk fast, I talk fast, but you can do it. Pastor Jim was telling me that the average person talks somewhere in the 100 words per minute, but they think 300 words per minute. So if I talk maybe, what, 120, 130 words per minute, that's still another 170 words per minute that you can understand. So hey, man, all right, we got this. Tonight, We're going to talk about staying positive when you feel negative. You know, sometimes it's just hard to be positive. Let's just be honest. I got a couple of things tonight. We'll just be right out honest about it. It's just hard to be positive. Let me start out by giving you the cliche two types of personalities. Okay, you guys might all heard this. There's the optimist. There's the pessimist. You know, there's the person where the glass is half full. There's the person that the glass is half empty. Okay, so we all kind of understand that. But how many of you guys know that whatever the view of the glass and the contents of the glass, it really depends on how you're feeling at that moment? I mean, you could say that somebody's a general optimist and that the glass is half full most of the time. But how many of you know if that they just got some bad news, they just got some devastating news in their life, you know what, they look at that glass and they're probably most likely not going to say, you know what, that glass is half full. Wow, I'm just feeling great today, right? You know, but at the same time, myself, who I would say, I'm more of a skeptical, analytical type person. So I'd say, yeah, I'm probably the glass is more half empty person, you know. But at the same time, if I've just had a great lunch or, you know, I slept all night or, you know, got some great news, you know, honestly, the glass is probably going to be half full because, hey, man, things are going great. Things are going wonderful. But as most of you guys know, I had a baby, so maybe I didn't get enough sleep for the night. Maybe I had something that was due, an assignment that was due at work the next day, and I forgot to do it. And I'm going to wake up that morning, and the glass is probably going to be half empty. Why? Because I got a bunch of things on my mind. You know, sometimes in life, you might have heard this statement. Sometimes in life, we just wake up on the wrong side of the bed, right? Sometimes in life, we just didn't get started on the right foot, right? I mean, these are sayings that we've all heard. We've all seen somebody, oh, little Mr. Cranky Pants over there to get off on the wrong side of the bed today. How many of you guys know that sometimes we just wake up and we're just down? Let me tell you a story before we get into the Word of God, because this is really where I started writing these notes. And this is where it came from. It's a couple weeks ago. It was actually my first Sunday back after having baby Bjorn, which I should say, by the way, healthy, strong baby. He's 8 pounds, 4 ounces now. He was born March 20th at 11:55 on a Sunday. Wouldn't you know, all the Cobra kids are, well, Roth kids, Beckhams, whoever. They're all born on Sundays. So he was born 5 minutes before third service. Grandpa was preaching while he was, while he was getting all prepared. And that was just an honor. 7 pounds, 13 ounces. He was 21 inches long. He's just awesome. Anyways, I'm a proud dad. I dote. Yes. I just can't stop but staring at him. And mom is doing great. She's a trooper. She's back in the lounge watching. So anyways, a couple weeks ago, it was my first Sunday back from being away with the baby and mom, and I was just driving to church. I got up, and I was just coming. It wasn't anything out of the ordinary, just different. And I woke up, and I'm just driving to church, and I just had that feeling. Maybe some of you guys can relate to me on this. I was just driving, and I just kind of felt down, just kind of, you know, those days where it's maybe not like great, maybe it's not like depressed. I'm not, you know, I wasn't going through anything or anything. It's just kind of a little, you know, days, just came in the control room, was doing my stuff in the video room, just kind of keeping quiet, just, And Pastor David and the band, they sang that song, Nothing Is Impossible, you know, that through you, I can do anything, I can do all things. Well, the verse goes on to say that I'm not going to live by what I feel, I'm not going to live by what I see. And then right before that song, Pastor David delivered an exhortation saying, you know what, stir yourselves up, pump yourselves up, you know what, you know, we don't need to live by what the world says, we walk by faith, not by sight. And he just started pumping and just building into that word. And I remember sitting at the graphics machine in the control room. And I was listening to Pastor David. It was first service, and he was just giving that exhortation. And then that song started going, and I just kind of, my foot was kind of tapping to the music, and I'm hitting that little button to change the lyrics on the beat, you know? And I just started speaking to myself, you know what? I'm not going to live by what I feel. I don't know what it is today. Maybe I had too much sugar last night, and today I don't know. But you know, the bottom line is I said to myself, I'm not going to live by what I feel. I'm not going to let my body determine what I do today and how I go throughout my day and ruin today just because of some kind of way. Whatever it might have been. And you know what the bottom line, you know what the crazy thing about it is? It's when I started to speak to myself and I started to look into the Word of God and I started to hear what Pastor David was saying, started to listen to the message that Pastor Jim was bringing, you know, all of a sudden it was like, boom. Wouldn't you know, it worked. And the rest of my day was different than when it started. How many of you guys know that, you know, you could be going through something. It could just be one of those days like I was talking about where it's just, meh, day. Or you know what? It could be a life-changing, tragic news that was dealt to you. You know, it could be something, you know, maybe it was a job. Maybe you lost your job, or maybe your marriage is going through something, or maybe it's just, you know, you got some financial problems going on, or maybe there's just something you've been standing in faith and you just don't understand why nothing's happening yet. The bottom line is there's so many reasons for us as humans, as people, to be negative. Let me tell you something I learned about in business school when I was at Cal Baptist and taking my business classes there. You know, I learned regarding customer service that when somebody has an encounter with customer service that is positive, they'll tell 2 to 4 people about that positive encounter when it comes to dealing with customer service. When somebody who deals with customer service encounters something negative, they'll tell anywhere from 11 to 20 people about that negative experience. Now, there's a saying, I'm sure we all know about it, misery loves company, right? It's just, that's just our fleshly nature. We just like to be down. You know, when we're having a bad day or when we're down, don't you know, you kind of want your face to show it so that people, oh man, what's going on? Are you okay? You need a hug? Oh, I'll pray for you. Right? But we as Christians, we as the children of God, we as saints of God, have got something that the world doesn't have. When the people of the world, the people who don't know God, when they have bad news, when they wake up and right? They turn to drugs, they turn to prescription, they turn to things that would fulfill their days through like television, through worldly desires, through alcohol, through coffee, whatever it may be. But we as the sons of and daughters of God, we have something different. We have God Almighty on our side that tells us, listen, I gave you this whole instruction manual called the Bible that tells you how you ought to live your life, and nowhere do you find that you should go about your day, you should go about your life moping about what's going on, about what happened in your life. You wouldn't know about my story because you know this is what happened. You know, guys, we have a hand up because we have God Almighty on our side. We have Jesus Christ who came and spilled his blood like we sang about today so that we could be free. Jesus said, I came to give you life and give it more abundantly. So why is it that we as a church, sometimes we as Christians, have that mopey, have that down, that attitude that you can't differentiate us from anybody else in the world? When we should be like what Dr. Kobernick was talking about on Sunday night, the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We ought to be something different. You know, the Bible tells us that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. We are different than the world. Therefore, we ought to look different than the world. So you know what? We need to learn what the Word says about staying positive when we feel negative, because those days of negativity, they're going to come. Some of you in this place tonight might be going through a valley of negativity right now where you just don't feel like there's any hope, or there's nothing to smile about. But tonight we're going to dig into the Word. I got three so simple concepts out of the Word of God about staying positive. And we're just going to dig into it, and let's just see what the Bible has to say about that. Are you guys with me tonight? Talking about staying positive when you feel negative. If you've got your Bibles with me, turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians in the New Testament. And you know, this is such a great passage of scripture. And here, let me give you a little bit of background. In the 5th chapter is where we're going to be reading from. 3 verses. These 3 verses probably have the least amount of words in the whole chapter than anything else. 3 concepts in 3 verses. And here, Paul is writing to the church of Thessalonica, and he's giving them the final exhortations in his letter. He's wrapping it up. And he's giving them the final exhortations of how Christians should act, what Christians should look like. And if you've got your Bibles with you, we're going to read verse 16, 17, and 18. And we're going to pull 3 simple concepts out of these. And now you can look at those 3 verses because they're that simple and see the 3 points. But let's dig into them tonight. Verse number 16 in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, Paul says, rejoice always. We're talking about staying positive when you feel negative. Point number 1. Rejoice always. Now, let me introduce to you a thought. And I'll be admit, like I said earlier in the introduction, let's just be honest. Let's be real. Sometimes there are things in life and in our faith that we read in the Bible that are easy concepts to think about and read about. Right? But when it comes to practical application, all of a sudden, they are the hardest things to do. Is anybody there with me? Jesus, I was sharing with somebody, Jesus tells us once, here's one of them. Jesus says, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's easier to end. It's better to enter the kingdom of heaven maimed than to have a hand that brings you down. Now, he's not talking physically. He's saying, if there's sin in your life, get rid of it, because it's easier to come limping than it is to come, you know, to miss it altogether. Now, that's an easy concept. Well, if you're sinning, stop. But in practicality, sometimes that's not very easy. Why? Because we have flesh. We're creatures of habit. We have certain habitual ways that we go about. There's just certain things that have been ingrained in us. There's things that our society tells us and that are socially acceptable, like misery loves company. So when we read to rejoice always, like Paul the Apostle's writing here, we say, yeah, that's great, man. Praise God. But then all of a sudden, when that negativity hits, when the emotions rise, when the bad news has been dealt, when the bank account says something that you think it should say something different, when the boss on the job is telling you something else, when the relationship at home isn't the way you think it should be or the way the Bible says it should be, then all of a sudden the practical application of rejoice always becomes a little harder. Is anybody here with me on that? I mean, we think, yeah, sure, it's great to be positive. I want to be the type of person that's always up and up and the type of person that, you know, everybody sees and says, man, I just want to be like that guy. But the bottom line is we're people. And the world is the world. And we live in this world and we have to deal with everyday situations. You know, this world isn't perfect. We can thank that to Adam and Eve all the way back down to the fall, right? But that's just the way it is. But let me tell you something. When Paul says rejoice always, let me tell you what rejoice always means. You ready for this? Rejoice always. Wow. I mean, we're getting deep, guys. He's talking about rejoice always. When we're talking about staying positive, when we feel negative, Paul the Apostle in his exhortation to the church of Thessalonica says, you know what? Rejoice always. You know, we want people to join in our pain. We want them to know about what's going on. We want the sorrow. We want the misery. That's what our flesh says, because that comfort comes. And we get our comfort from people wrapping around us and people sympathizing with us and people, oh man, I understand. I feel your pain. But you know what the Bible tells us? You know what? We as Christians are to be different. We're not to have that look on our face of, I can't make it through today. How many of you guys have ever talked to somebody, you know, maybe in passing through the church and you've seen somebody, hey man, how you doing? Good to see you. God bless you. And they say, oh man, I'm okay. You know, I'm just going. And you know, after a while, if they continue to be that way, you kind of say, man, I don't want to ask that guy how he's doing because I know how they're going to be, right? And how many of you guys know that Christians, we ought not to be like that? We ought not to be like that. You know what's funny is that I remember when I was in Bible college, there was a lady I sat next to. Pastor Dan will laugh at this because he knows who I'm talking about. There was a lady at Bible college I sat next to. Every time I would say, hey, how you doing? How you doing? How's it going? She would answer me this like automated response. It was almost like a voicemail message, like beep, you know. And she would say, I'm blessed and highly favored. Thank you. Hey, how you doing today? I'm blessed and highly favored. Thank you. Oh, how you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored. Thank you. And after a while, I was like, I was sharing with Jess and Dan and Pastor Joey and all my roommates. Man, I don't want to ask this lady anymore how she's doing because I know she's blessed and highly favored. Thank you. But you know what that is? That at least what she's doing is she's making a proclamation where regardless of how she actually felt, regardless if she was maybe sick that day, regardless of maybe she had the flu or maybe she got some bad news about her uncle across the states, you know what? The bottom line is she was blessed and she was highly favored and she was speaking what God said about her situation versus how she felt. And if we as Christians, we as sons and daughters of Christ, of God, are to be different, to be that peculiar people that the Bible tells us that we are, to be that chosen generation, that royal priesthood, then we ought to speak what God says about our situation, not what our emotions or our feelings or the doctor's report or the bank account or the wife or the husband or the boss of the job says about our situation. But we as Christians are called to rejoice, to be happy, to be that example. Jesus tells us, like Dr. Kopernik was saying, that we are the salt of the earth. We're the flavor. We're the preservatives. We are the light of the world. So therefore, we as the salt of the earth should not be bitter. We should not be, you know, sour in the taste of somebody's mouth. As the light of the world, should we be downcast and ugh? No, we need to be positive, even when we feel like being negative. If you've got your Bibles with me, keep your hand in, keep your finger or your thumb, or if you've got a ribbon, keep it in 1 Thessalonians because we're going to come back there. But if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians in the 12th chapter. Man, I'll tell you what, this is some powerful stuff right here. Paul the Apostle is talking about what your Bible might have in the reference. It's called the thorn in the flesh. And he's saying that something, a messenger of Satan has come to buffet him, to just put him down, to rub against him, to wear him out. And he says, you know, here I am, I'm praying to God. And he's telling the church, he says, you know, I pray to God three times that God would deliver me from this messenger of Satan, that God would pull me out of this situation. And in verse number 8, Paul the Apostle writes, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul the Apostle writes, boast. I would rather boast. Paul the Apostle writes, I would take pleasure. Does that mean, does that sound to you then that Paul the Apostle saying, you know what, I'm going to be Mr. Downer about my infirmities. I'm going to be, ugh, I don't know, I just don't feel good today. I didn't like the report that the doctors gave me. I don't like that I'm not making enough money. I don't like that I don't feel like I'm blessed, or I don't feel like, you know, this or that. Is that what Paul the Apostle saying? Or does Paul say, I would rather boast. Hey, guess what? I got infirmities, right? He says, I would rather celebrate in that, because now I know, because Jesus Christ said, my grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. So we as the sons and daughters of God, we as children of God, as the church, can rest assured that, you know what? When the reports come and we feel like being negative, we have reason to rejoice. It may not be that we have reason to rejoice because of what the doctor said, but we have reason to rejoice because we know that God's grace is sufficient for our everyday needs. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. So when we feel down and out, when we feel like we can't get going, when we feel like we can't make it through the day, or we can't make it through this situation, we can rest assured that God's grace, His sovereign divine ability, to get the job done on our behalf when we can't do it. His grace is sufficient. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. So Paul says, you know what? I would be so much better to boast, to rejoice in the fact that I am not perfect. Therefore, Christ has the opportunity to work Himself and His power in me so that I could be the salt of the earth and the light on a hill for the world to see. So then all of a sudden in my infirmities, I can rejoice and see that, and show the world that, yeah, I am a peculiar person. I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. If we choose to rejoice instead of operate in how we feel and how our emotions tell us and what the report says, if we choose to live what the Bible says, what the Word of God says about our situation, you're not feeling good in this place. You know what the Bible says? That by His stripes, you were healed. The Bible tells us that, you know what? Through God, all things are possible. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. So what report, what kind of a situation could we be in that God couldn't step in and show His grace strong, show His power in our weakness, and give us cause to rejoice in this place? First Peter, the 4th chapter, I'll just pop it up on the overhead. He says in verse number 12, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is in you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. Verse number 13, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Jesus tells us, you know what? Rejoice, for great is your reward in heaven. Those who endure to the end shall be saved. Jesus says, you know what? You may be going through something right now. He's saying right here, you know, you might be going through something right now, but you rejoice because you know what? Jesus Christ came to this world. God came and smelt the stench of the barn as His first breath. He was nailed to the cross, beaten, bloody mess for you and I, so that we could be free. So you know what? It's a joy. It's a pleasure. It's an honor for us to partake in suffering like our Lord Jesus Christ, so that when He, His glory is revealed, and when He is made perfect, we can share in the glory and we can feel the joy that the Lord has given us. The book of Nehemiah says that the joy of the Lord shall be our strength. The book of Romans says, if God be for us, then who can be against us? So, you know, you might say, Pastor Luke, I don't feel like rejoicing. I don't have any cause to rejoice. But the bottom line is, the word of God says you've got much more to rejoice than not to. We've got a God in heaven who sent His Son to die for us, that we might be saved, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So there is cause for us, church, to rejoice in our infirmities. You guys getting something out of this tonight? You know what the beautiful thing about rejoicing is? Especially when you don't want to. It forces you to get into faith. It forces you to get into faith. You know, when you're rejoicing, your body's saying, shut up. Right? Am I right in this? You know, when you just got bad news, your body's saying, dude, you are crazy. Everybody is looking at you like you're nuts. As a matter of fact, I have a good friend, and they've been going through something right now. And, you know, they were talking about how they were going through this situation, and they were just standing in faith and rejoicing that God is on the throne. And other people around them are just starting to ridicule them. Man, what is wrong with you? You guys are just, you know, off your rocker. But the bottom line is rejoicing, especially when you don't feel like doing it, forces you to get into faith. You know why? Because it's not your flesh that's doing it. It's your spirit that's getting you into it. It's the Spirit of the Lord imparting on your heart and on your soul, saying, you know what? You've got something better coming ahead. You've got something better going. You know, the past is the past, but the future is in my hands. Rejoicing causes us to step out of our flesh and get into faith. Staying positive when you feel negative. In 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verse number 17, pray without ceasing. Number 2, pray continually. Now, let me say this. I love this verse. I'm just going to say that because this was one of those verses. Some of you might be in this place tonight because I was this way when I first read this verse. Pray without ceasing. How can I pray 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, and never stop? The disciples couldn't even do that late at night with Jesus in the garden. Yet Paul the Apostle tells me to pray without ceasing. And this verse perplexed me. And I remember in Bible college back in Tulsa, Oklahoma, I remember sitting in the class and the man of God that we sat under that was over the whole Bible college was teaching that class. And he started talking about this verse and the application in his life. And it hit me like a bolt of lightning. Boom! And all of a sudden the revelation of God came upon me. That it's not literally saying pray 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Yeah, I mean, if you want to try, go ahead. But let's just be real. You know, let me give it to you like this. When we pray, oftentimes, at the end of our prayer, we say, amen. And here's what the man of God shared to us in our class. Oftentimes, we say amen, and it's like we're on the phone, and we hang up the phone. The conversation may not have been over, even though we said amen, but in our heart, we cut it off, and we started going about our own business and doing our own thing. How many of you guys have ever gotten up in the morning and just prayed over the day? Amen. Boom. The rest of the day, that was it, you know? What we do, we as humans, we as in our habitual lives and in our busy lifestyle, we pray, and we say the words, amen, at the end of the prayer, and it's like we just hang up the phone and cut it off. We're here, Paul the Apostle saying, pray without ceasing. To keep the communication line open. Even though amen has already been said. Even though, you know, all right, God, I've said all I can say. Therefore, I end my conversation with amen. That doesn't mean that God isn't ready there to talk. God isn't ready to respond. But what if we shut the conversation off by saying amen and then just go about our busy lives and go about it without keeping that communication line open? All of a sudden, we stop ourselves. We hinder ourselves from hearing the voice of the Lord respond to us, from hearing the voice of God, the calling of God, that His response to us in that situation, in that prayer. to pray without ceasing. That also doesn't mean that we just pray once in the day. You know what really helped me was that when I was listening to this man of God talk about this in his life, over the 85 years of ministry that, or 55 years of ministry that he had been going through, he just kept an open communication with God. And I began to adopt this principle in my life of praying without ceasing, of keeping that communication open. And you know what? Sometimes I'll get deep down in prayer. Man, I'll get deep down in prayer. I'll admit to you, guys, I'm not the strongest prayer person in this building. There are people in this building, there are some of the pastors in here, that when I watch them pray, I'm just like, dude, I mean, wow, you guys just get into it. You know, and there are times where I have gotten on my face, I have gotten with God. But you know what the bottom line is? A lot of the times my prayers are just short and simple, but throughout the day, it's always just something. And I keep the communication line open with God. I don't close off my spirit. I don't close off the thing. You know, sometimes my prayers might throughout the day just might be Jesus. 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 Sometimes my prayers might just be, God, I love you. God, speak to me right now. Lord, give me some wisdom on this situation. And you know what? Just simple prayers. They don't have to be of anything of sort of formal of religious value or you know, say this to get this. But it's an open communication. Here Paul's saying, pray without ceasing. Pray continually. You know, when you keep the communication lines open with God, what you do is you get your spirit ready to hear from the Word of God. But when you say amen and you hang that phone up and you go about your business, you know what? If God's trying to talk to you, if God's trying to impart something in your life, if God's trying to get his way into you, are you going to be listening if you're not ready for it? We heard a long time ago, a couple weeks ago, about Elijah when he was in the cave and God said he was going to reveal himself and a fire came. God wasn't in the fire. Earthquake came. God wasn't in the earthquake. A great wind came. God wasn't in the wind. And then a still small voice came. But when we ready our hearts, when we prepare our spirit to receive from what God has, from the voice of God, then all of a sudden we are better prepared to stay positive. Think about it like this. What negative impact has prayer ever had? What bad has come from praying? Yet so often in our lives we get up, we pray prayer in the morning, God bless our day. You know, give me strength, let me be a laborer, let me be a city on a hill for you today, and then we go about our day, and that's it. When here Paul the Apostle saying, listen guys, pray without ceasing. Continually pray. Keep the communication lines open. You know, in Luke, the 11th chapter, if you've got your Bibles there, just go ahead and turn, keep your thumb there in Thessalonians. Let's turn to Luke, the 11th chapter. In verse number 5, Jesus gives us a little illustration. He says to them, you shall have a friend, and you should go to him. Which of you shall have a friend, and go to him at midnight, and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he said, and he will answer from within, saying, do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. And I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he's his friend, yet he will rise because of his persistence. And he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Verse number 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Jesus says, here, how many of you guys have had a friend where you go to, you know, no, probably most of us haven't done this, but there's a movie I like to think of this illustration. I'm a visual type person. There's a movie that we used to watch as kids called The Princess Bride. I don't know if any of you guys have ever seen it, but it's kind of a funny movie. I always took it seriously, but now it's actually a funny movie. And there's a scene where the man in the black mask has just died, and they're trying to get a miracle, and they're going to this guy. He's the miracle maker. His name is Max. And the guy, they find his address, and they pound on the door, bah, bah, bop, 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 bop. And the guy opens it. You just imagine the door where it had the little trap door where he opens and he sticks his face out. You know, he says, hey, go away. He shuts the door. Bop, 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 bop. You know, opens the door. Hey, man, this guy. He shuts the door again on him. Bop, 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 bop. Jesus is saying that same thing. You know, the guy, he's not going to give the loaves because he's his friend. He's going to give you the loaves to stop knocking on the door. In Luke, the 18th chapter, Jesus gives another example about an unjust judge who doesn't fear God and doesn't care about men. And a widow woman comes to him and p- petitions her case to him. And Jesus says that the judge acts on her behalf. Why? Not because he feared God, not because he cared about what men said, because the woman continually came after him. Pray without ceasing. If you've got something that you need from God, don't just pray one time. Why? Why not keep praying? You know, my parents always taught me all my life that the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Pray without ceasing. And that's exactly, in Luke, the 10th chapter right here, that's exactly what Jesus is just saying. The squeaky wheel gets the grease. The guy gives the loaf of bread. Why? Not because he's his friend, because the dude's banging on his door and he's going to wake his whole family. Okay, man, stop banging on my door. I'll give you the bread. Get out of here. Not saying that that's what God is saying about you praying, but what he's saying is that, you know what? You ask, you'll find it. You seek, you'll get it. You knock, the door will be open. And you want to stay positive in a negative world? You want to look at what God says, what the Bible says? You know what? Then to get into prayer. Get into what the Word of God has to seek. Pray the Word of God over your life. Speak the Word of God. Pray to God. Communicate with God. He's there. He loves you. He wants to hear from you. Yet we feel like we burden God with our prayers, or He can't listen to me. You know, Ephesians 6 chapter, verse number 18, I'll pop that up on the overhead. Paul the Apostle says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Paul the Apostle saying this, let me say this, he's talking about the armor of God. And he's talking about take up the sword of the Spirit. And on that same thought of the sword of the Spirit, he says, praying always with all prayer. I want to touch on this real quick. I was reading a book about this subject. And praying always with all prayer. That's kind of an, what does that mean? Praying always with all prayer. Well, how many of you guys know that there are different types of prayers in our lives, right? There are public prayer. We went through that. There's private prayer. There's secret prayers of our hearts. There's prayers, petitions to God. There's prayers for repentance. There's prayers for His mercy. There's prayers for intercession. There's prayers for all sorts of different things. There's not just one type of prayer. And Paul the Apostle is saying, praying all prayer and supplication. Make your needs known to God. So you know what Paul the Apostle is saying? Don't just pray once. Don't just give God one prayer for the day and say, okay, there I go. You know what you're doing then? You're just being religious. God wants a communication with you. God wants to talk to you. God wants a relationship with you. And how many of you guys know, I'm going to get deep right here, especially for those of you who are dating or married, or if you ever want to be married. How many of you guys know that if you just talk to your spouse or your significant other once a day, okay, once a week, how good and fruitful is your relationship going to be? Yet we expect our relationship with God to be so profound, and oftentimes we don't give Him the time of day. When here Paul the Apostle is saying, pray without ceasing, continually pray. You know what? If you're going throughout your day, you're at your job and it's quiet, just pray in your mind, Lord, I love you. God, let me be an example today. God, speak to me about this. You know, there's a verse you've maybe been reading, don't understand. Just ask, you know what, Lord? Reveal yourself in this verse to me today. And just continually open up that prayer. You know what that does? That keeps your mind, that keeps your soul in tune to hear when God speaks. So if we want to learn to stay positive when we feel like being negative, we need to be in communication with God. Constant communication. There's just so much we can do when it comes to praying. And finally tonight, in staying positive when we feel negative, back in the book of 1 Thessalonians, verse number 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Number 3, be thankful. Whew. Okay, now talking about rejoicing when we feel like it. Now, remember that concept I was telling you about, that thought? You know, there's times when it's easy to think about, okay, I'm thankful. But then sometimes when it comes to practical application, in the midst of an issue, in the midst of feeling down, in the midst of something going on, maybe it's not the easiest thing. Let me say it to you like this. We, even though we're adults, we've grown up, we've lived our lives, we're going about, no matter how old we are, you know, you guys know, we are like kids. Okay, you're kind of like, I don't get it. What are you talking about? We're like kids. Okay, I'm going to use my nephew, Micah. Micah's at that prime age, 3 years old. So many times we as adults are like Micah, who is 3 years old, but on a different scale. Now, let's say Micah. The other day, Micah was playing outside, and he fell. And when he fell, it was a little tiny scratch. It wasn't anything big. I mean, you know. But, I mean, his world was over. I mean, it was like done, right? I mean, if you guys have ever seen a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old, you take the piece of candy away from them, you tell them no, like sometimes God tells us in our lives. And you tell them, you see their life, and it is just, they're done. They're crying. They're not listening to anything you say. No matter what you try to do to comfort them, I mean, they're out, right? And you try to tell somebody to be thankful in that moment, and yeah, right. But you know, what's funny is that we as adults oftentimes are like that. We go through a situation. We get some bad news. We get some, you know, we look at the bank account, don't know how we're going to pay the bills. Or we look at whatever it might be, whatever the news was brought to us, whatever the situation, however our emotions feel. And we're acting like that 3-year-old in our lives, maybe not crying and screaming out like he is. But we're just, I mean, we are in the moment. Right? Nothing you could say, man. What have I got to be thankful for? And then you look back when Micah peels that band-aid off and says, okay, I'm okay now, you know, gives him a sucker and he smiles, right? We look back in our life and we look back and we say, man, okay, maybe I overreacted a little bit. Maybe, just maybe, I might have overreacted. Does anybody else in this place relate to that other than me? Okay, I'm glad I'm not alone. So we, even though as adults, sometimes we're like kids. And we can overreact, and we can, you know, my dad and mom always told me this growing up. Luke, stop making mountains out of molehills. You know, where we as adults, we tend to make, you know, these huge issues that are just insurmountable in our own lives, even though in reality they're just little tiny gopher mounds or molehills. And it's so easy for us to get caught up in the moment, like Micah did when he scraped his knee. As adults, for us to get caught up in the moment, caught up in the situation, caught up in whatever gets us down, whenever we feel like being negative, it's so easy for us to get caught up in that we forget, and we think back to, how can I be thankful? What is it that I can be thankful for? But you know what the bottom line is? The Bible tells us, Paul the Apostle says, in everything, be thankful. Give thanks. You know what the beautiful thing about being thankful is and about giving thanks? Is it reminds you, it brings you back to what God has done in your life, what God has done in the lives of those around you. You know, we in the young adults, we have a service, it's kind of a tradition, the Friday right after Thanksgiving, we call it our thankful service. And we, you know, we just have a little worship night and kind of just the presence of God come down, and we have this big poster. Everybody comes up with a Sharpie and they write what they're thankful for. You know, people say, you know, man, I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for God to save my soul when I didn't deserve it. I'm thankful for a job. I'm thankful for the sunrise every day. I'm thankful for air in my lungs. I'm thankful that God sent his son to die for me. You know, there's so many different things. And you know what it is? When you start to go over and when you start to think back to the things that you're thankful for, it's like an instant pick-me-up. Isn't it? I mean, has anybody been there? Let me say it like this. Has anybody ever seen or made somebody cry? Okay. Oh man, I feel bad. You feel terrible. And you're just talking to them. And this has happened with me and my wife where, you know, I've said something, made her cry. And the next thing I say is something really dumb. And she'll start to laugh while she's crying. I mean, she's crying, she's sad, or, you know, you've seen it. And then all of a sudden they start to laugh even though they're crying. And right then when they start to laugh, it's like their countenance changes a little bit, and they say, okay, you know, all right, you know, and they kind of, you know, wipe the tear off, and all of a sudden, like, you can feel it, like, you know, your heart kind of like, okay, woo, you know, disaster averted. It's like that when we begin to give thanks, when we reflect on all the things that God has done for us, when we reflect on what God has come through, when we reflect on the fact that, you know what, God sent his son to die for us so that we could be free. The Bible says that in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we spit in his face, he still loved us. You know, we have so much, church, to be thankful for. And when we begin to reflect on it, it pulls us out of our misery. It pulls us out of our negativity and begins to remind us of how good God is. When we look back at the trials of our life and the mountains that we climbed and the things that we didn't think that we could get over, and we look back and say, wow, you know what? Okay. At the time, I didn't think that I could get through that, but you know what? God was there. God was with me the whole way through. And then we begin to look at our lives and we say, wow, okay, man, I'm thankful for this. Man, I'm thankful for that. You know what the beautiful part about these three things? About praying always, about rejoicing, and about being thankful? They coincide with each other. Did anybody kind of catch on to that? I mean, you can rejoice while praying and being thankful. Just yesterday, I was up in our local mountains, and I was fishing with my brother. And in the snow melt, if those of you who know fishing in streams, when the snow melts, the rivers go fast. When the rivers go fast, fish don't bite. You know, that's just the bottom line. But we were just itching to get out, so we get out there. And it is just not very much fun. I mean, the rivers are going crazy. The trees are all in the river, so there's nowhere you can fish. And, you know, at first, my brother-in-law are kind of griping. And then all of a sudden, I just get out there, and I just started saying, God, thank you for those mountains. Lord, thank you for this beautiful day. And the breeze started to blow. Lord, thank you for that breeze. And all of a sudden, I could feel in my soul the approval and the gratitude of God. Just doting on the fact that me, his creation, I'm standing there in that moment, enjoying his creation and acknowledging him for creating it. And I could feel in my soul, it had nothing to do with the result of fishing or anything like that, but I could feel in my soul that uplifting piece of my soul that says, you know what? That's it. That's the concept. That's the principle of God right there. You know, is when you say thank you, God, thank you. All of a sudden, it's just like, oh, I could just feel God's presence on me. And I just enjoyed the day so much more because my eyes were opened to the things around me. And that's the same thing with the situations in our life. When we feel like being negative, when the situation says that we have no reason to rejoice, when there's nothing to be thankful for, when we begin to thank God for what he's done for us, our eyes begin to open to the situation around us, and we begin to see, wow, look at how good God is. Look at how big God is. Look at how small my problem is in comparison to what God has. It's just amazing. It never ceases to amaze me. The graciousness of God and the expansiveness of God. You know, your problem, whatever it may be that you're going through tonight, may be like there's just no end in sight. I mean, it might just be something that's so huge that it just, you need a miracle. You know what the bottom line is? God was there to set the stars in place. They say that the universe is still growing, but God knows where it is. God started from the beginning. He's there to the end. So no matter what size problem you have, no matter what you're going through in life, no matter what the chemicals in your brain tell you, no matter what the doctors say, what your bank accounts say, God is on the throne. God is there for you. And you as children of God, we as the church have something that the world does not. We have got God and Jesus Christ who sits on the throne, who raised from the dead after 3 days. Buddha's in the grave. Muhammad's in the grave. Hare Krishna and all those other things. They have nothing compared to Jesus Christ who raised from the dead. So what is it that we cannot be thankful for? Tonight, three things. Rejoice always. It forces us, church, to stand in faith, especially when we don't feel like rejoicing. Pray continually. Don't stop your communication with God because you said amen. And finally, give thanks. It reminds us of what God has done for us in our lives. Psalms 100, verse 4 says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful and bless his name." Church, tonight, being positive when we feel like being negative, we have so much reason to celebrate. We have so much to rejoice about. We have so much that we can talk to God about in praying continually. And there's so much we as a church can be thankful for. Did you guys get something out of that tonight?